With us today is Brenda Bernstein.
Hi, Justin. Good to be here.
I'm glad to have you here as well. Brenda is the founder and senior editor at The Essay Expert, and she is also an author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. Brenda currently has that book in its 14th edition, which means she keeps updating it to keep it relevant with today's LinkedIn platform. Brenda holds a BA from Yale and a law degree from NYU, as well as other titles like Certified Executive Resume Master and Certified Master Resume Writer from Career Directors International. But I'd like to turn it back to Brenda and ask her that dreaded interview question. So, Brenda, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, Justin, let's see. I was an English major at Yale, and then I ended up going to law school at NYU, and I did practice public interest law for 10 years. And after that, I was pretty much done and went back to my English roots. So now I have The Essay Expert and focusing on resumes, executive resumes, and LinkedIn profiles. And of course, I authored a book about LinkedIn and also some books about resume writing.
Absolutely. And what brought you into resumes specifically? Because that's a key niche to be in right now.
It came out of my essay coaching as I was helping people with their essays to get into law school. Some of those people would come back to me after they graduated from law school and ask me for help. And it kind of was a natural progression from the essay help. Also, I did spend a year at the Career Services Office at the University of Wisconsin Law School. And there I helped a lot of law school students with their resumes.
Absolutely. That's how everyone gets their start somewhere. What brought this organization into it, though? You mentioned Career Directors International. I've not heard of this one.
CDI is an organization that supports career professionals throughout the world. And they do have certifications available. Now, there are various organizations that offer certifications in resume writing. I happen to think that CDI is the most rigorous in what they offer in terms of their resume certifications. You know, you'll see people who have CPRW, that's kind of the standard resume certification. However, there is a very wide range in the quality of the writers you're going to get if you just go with someone who has a CPRW.
I heard somebody joke in my coworker space in technology that anyone with $500 can be a scrum master. But
it's something like that.
You're saying that CDI offered a little bit more rigorous skills qualification, proving that you can give excellent advice on a resume.
Yes. And the CMRW and CERM, which you mentioned in the introduction, are some of the top level certifications that they offer, and you actually do need to recertify every year to 3 years, depending on the certification, to prove that you still have the skills.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working in Salesforce space, so I have to recertify 2-3 times a year. Basically, every time a new release of the product comes out, I have to recertify. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Frank Blake was a guest on Career Cloud Radio on November 9th, 2020.
But the difference is going to be who is willing to put in the preparation ahead of time to win.
I'd like to remind you that Frank's site, myjobology.com, offers an interview preparation course packed with 1 hour of lessons that will differentiate yourself from the competition. Learn how to present yourself as the most qualified candidate in these 4 modules. Career Cloud listeners get half off the current price with the code CAREERCLOUD, lowercase one word. Don't dismiss this discount opportunity. You will get the full value of learning from an expert and maximum confidence in your next interview. You can download a free workbook or even just purchase the first lecture before buying the entire course. So head on over to myjobology.com.
You gain a tremendous amount of confidence just through preparation. So if you put in the hard work ahead of time, you're going to show up to the table so much more confident.
That website is spelled myjobology.com. Myjobology.com.
Today's topic was LinkedIn because it's one of your expertise. I'd like to kick off by asking, how is LinkedIn different today from a traditional resume that I would be submitting online to start my application process?
Well, we could probably talk for a couple hours about that. So there's so many ways that it's different. For one thing, you have your picture on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You still don't put your picture on a resume in this country. In some countries you do, but in the United States, you don't put your picture on your resume, but you have your picture on LinkedIn. So that's something important to keep in mind and make sure that your picture on LinkedIn really presents you in the correct way for your profession and shows you off well. And you also have the background image. Now, a background image on LinkedIn, you could actually use on your resume. Most people don't. Most people don't want too much of a flashy resume. So that's another difference. Beyond that, when it comes to graphics, you have a little more leeway with your resume because in your about section on LinkedIn, you can put, there are some Unicode symbols that you can pull and put into your profile and spice it up a little bit. There are tricks to get bold text into your about section. However, they're not intuitive. You can't just like copy and paste a Word document that has bold and italics. If you just copy and paste that into Word, you're not going to get the bold and italics. So you have to actually learn how to do that. And that is one of the things that I'm putting in the new edition of my book is the trick on how to get bold text into your about section on LinkedIn. I will also say the about section, this is a little announcement, but the about section is now 2,600 characters.
Whoa, that's a lot longer than I'm using. I think I've got 200 characters at this moment.
Exactly. So it used to be 2,000 and just recently it changed to 2,600. And that will actually allow, if you know the tips and the tricks and how to do it, it will allow you to do things like bold because it takes up more characters to use bold.
Oh, interesting. It's actual characters. So if you're doing any non-visible characters, they're counting those too. Yeah.
Right. So the bold takes up your character count. And now you don't have to worry about that so much because you've got these 600 extra characters to use. Now, with a 200 character summary or about section or however many it is, if you have a very short summary section or about section on LinkedIn, that's something that a lot of people think, oh, well, I have this little summary on my resume, so I'm just going to copy it over into my LinkedIn profile. And it's a couple of lines and it says, what do people use? Demonstrated success. Proven results or results oriented, blah, 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 blah.
These are so cliche now. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Proven track record. That's.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So these are all the things that people have in their resumes. And then they copy and paste them into their about section. And they think it's a summary or an about section. It's not. As we just discovered, you had 2,000, now 2,600 characters to use in the about section. So it's a very different project creating an about section than it is creating a resume summary. And on a resume, usually you're not using the word I. There are some people who do, but on LinkedIn, you're really invited to speak in the first person and talk about yourself in full sentences. You probably won't see a full sentence on a resume, but on LinkedIn, you'll see full sentences. So write about yourself, figure out who you are, what your personality is, what you want to convey on LinkedIn to the world about yourself. It can be a combination of some of your past, how you got to where you are, what you're doing now. Make sure you do tell people what you're doing now right up front in your summary section or about section, because, and when I say summary and about, they recently changed the name. It used to be called summary. Now it's called about. So I'm trying to say
the same thing though. Yeah.
It's the same thing. So I'm trying to say both in case anyone is confused about that, but you know, do make sure you tell them the most important things about yourself right away. Then you have a little space to talk about how you got there. You can create little subheadings. You can put some of your accomplishments there. So you have a lot more flexibility, space to be creative in that about section.
In the about section, one thing I've noticed that I struggle with and hear from people that ask me about it is, should I be talking about what I want there? Because it's not about what I've done or something in the past, but like speaking more aspirationally in that section to describe, and the next thing I'm looking for is. Do you think that's a faux pas or worth it?
Well, it's interesting because it's also a resume question. You know, people ask, should I have an objective section on my resume? And generally, objective sections are not recommended for resumes.
I'm glad you said that because I personally hate them.
Right. Because when a company looks at who you are, they don't care what you want. They care what you're going to contribute to their organization. So I would say the same thing would apply on LinkedIn. I can't give any 100% all the time advice about this. There may be exceptions, but I would say in general, you want to talk about what you are going to contribute more than you're going to talk about what you're looking for. But I think if you set yourself up well as a strong candidate, and then you say you're looking to contribute to an organization that does blah, 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 then that's okay. And this also will depend, are you a new graduate or are you at a director level? Because that's going to make a difference in how you present that you're looking for something. Are you unemployed or are you currently at an organization? That could also make a difference. So I can't give like one size fits all answer.
But those four scenarios are perfect examples to at least give one example for each of those. So new student, I'm going to make a guess here. You probably need to speak a little aspirationally because you can't say that you're going to deliver. Well, you can promise great customer service if you had a customer service job, but like,
right?
I think the average hiring manager understands I'm dealing with an entry-level candidate here. There's not a ton that I should be expecting them to promise. I'm going to give you, if a college student's saying I'm going to deliver strategic advice and stuff, it's like, no, you're not.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You say as much as you can very honestly about what you've done. And I think for a student, it's probably appropriate to say, this is what I want to be doing with my life.
A student's going to have to update that frequently because they're going to probably apply to three different industries too. So it's difficult for them to navigate if they got four resumes in the hopper at different companies with three different industries. You got to be careful that their LinkedIn bio doesn't also say a completely opposite industry. I want to get into fashion, and they've got a resume in at Adidas, and then they go apply to be an analyst, and it's like, what?
Right, right. And the audience can't see this, but I'm nodding my head vigorously here. Yeah. So, yes, that is true. And that is not just a problem for new graduates who aren't sure what direction they're going to go in. I mean, there are other people also. You can only have one LinkedIn profile.
Mm.
And you can have multiple resumes. So there's another big difference between resumes and LinkedIn profiles. So on LinkedIn, you're going to need to navigate that. Sometimes people will choose their top target and write the LinkedIn profile to that and hope that it works. And then after a certain number of months, if it doesn't, try something else. You could also try to be general, but being general on LinkedIn is usually shooting yourself in the foot because then no one's going to find you for anything.
Well, one thing I've seen on some people that are very sought after professionals, but they're currently employed, so maybe they're just not looking, is there's a lot of people on LinkedIn that just put the company name and their job title.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's a mistake for most professionals out there, or do you think it's just something they're doing to be on the platform, but really they don't care?
I think exactly it's something they're doing to be on the platform, but really they don't care. If you want to be getting a new job through LinkedIn, if you want to be networking in any real way on LinkedIn, if you want to be attracting clients on LinkedIn, then you need to actually fill out your LinkedIn profile. And some people really do that because of privacy issues. You know, venture capitalists, they don't want all their information out there. There are, sad to say, you know, there are incidents of stalking and things like that where some people are not comfortable putting anything about their current job. They don't want anyone to be able to tell where they work because they don't feel safe. And that is a sad state of affairs, but it is. So you never really know why people are not putting information on LinkedIn. There are some details that are confidential that might be okay to put on your resume, but you don't want to put them publicly on LinkedIn.
Like what?
Well, it's just at certain at certain jobs if you're talking about, you know, revenue.
A specific project or something, yeah.
A specific project, dollar numbers, problems that you addressed. You know, maybe you don't want those on LinkedIn for the whole world to see, but on the resume, it's important for a potential employer to know more details of what you've done.
Great. You've gotten into my next question then twice now. That is, what can I do on a resume that I cannot do on LinkedIn? You just hit one that there, you can talk a little bit about some of the things that were more of a private accomplishment that your employer might not have wanted out there publicly, like you said, fixing a problem. And then earlier you had another one.
There are different graphic things that you can do on a resume than the graphic things you can do on LinkedIn. They're different, right? You can design a resume. You can organize the information in whatever way you want. LinkedIn, you can only organize it the way that LinkedIn tells you to.
I remember too. It was also the fact that you can have five separate, completely different resumes out there trying to get you a job.
Yes.
And LinkedIn is going to stay pretty much static depending on your circumstance.
Right.
So creating that blended LinkedIn profile is very difficult and some work to put in, which is why your expertise becomes very valuable to people.
Yes.
So getting back to it though, is there some more items that come to mind when you think about the power of a resume today? Because I'm going to go throw it out there as a personal feeling and I want you to shoot it down and attack it. But I just have this sense that the traditional resume is losing value because recruiters are reaching out to you because they found you on LinkedIn and they already know as much as they want to know. And this resume is becoming this just formalized step that people need to take.
Well, the fact is after the recruiter contacts you for LinkedIn, what do you think is the first thing they ask for?
The resume. Absolutely right.
Bingo.
So it would be a problem if I sent them a piece of paper that had four words on it. Yes.
Yes. Or if you just have a LinkedIn profile, it might not be enough. When you apply for a job through LinkedIn, there's this easy apply button. And if you hit easy apply almost all the time, the first thing that you're asked for when you apply through easy apply on LinkedIn is
the Justin. Resume. Yep. I've hit that button.
Okay.
And I've definitely hit that button specifically on jobs that I'm like, I don't think I have a shot really here. I'm not going to put in 2 hours on this one, but if they call me, sure. I'll talk to them.
Yep. So clearly the resume is not dead. Not yet. Still very, very much alive. And there are systems at companies, most companies, any kind of mid-sized company, and even smaller companies now are using these applicant tracking systems. And they are using those to scan your resume, not your LinkedIn profile.
True. We've had guests talk about the applicant tracking system, so I don't want to bore you by sharing all your secrets to getting through them, because I know that that's probably something we could also spend hours on.
Well, I can give you a couple, just not the details of how to do it, but there is something called JobScan.
Yep, that's the one. That's the guest I had on. Yeah. Yep.
So JobScan is the one that, you know, I would also recommend. The other option is to test your resume. I use Honeywell and Coca-Cola websites, and I test the resumes in those sites to see how they do. That is just to make sure that they're formatted correctly. You can't tell how they match up to a job description and get numbers on that. But JobScan, I would say, is definitely worth it if you're in a serious job search.
Yeah, especially a job search where you're anticipating a $12,000 to $15,000 raise.
Yeah.
It's worth the extra dollars for the paid version of JobScan. One of the new features that I like in JobScan too is if you tell them the employer, and sometimes you have to provide like the domain name you're planning to apply to, but if you give them that link, a lot of them, and the database keeps growing, they're able to reply back to you with, we know they're using this applicant tracking system specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one or two tips about how that tracking system differs.
Yeah.
So when I was in a serious job search last year, that meant on a couple applications, they were pointing out, hey, the recruiter will see the file name you upload. Mm-hmm. So make sure to include something in that file name a little bit more relevant than just your first and last name.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe say, you know, strategist or a title or something. And in addition to that is the part of the file name. Since it's for a millisecond, they're going to see it because of the system they're choosing to use.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, it came from their blog there. So just kind of resharing that one. Well, I think we've got a lot of cool updates here. Being that we're in 2020, do you have a final bit of advice for what's changed today or in your perspective of the last 100 clients you've worked with? You're like, you know what? This is the one that's coming up now. I'd love to hear it, you know, starting out a new year here. For those of you listening, she's grabbed her chin like the thinking pose and
In my world, the biggest thing is the 2,600 character about section on LinkedIn, really. And the jobs feature on LinkedIn is always shifting and changing.
Yes, I've seen that.
So it's going to look a little bit different. The reports you get are going to look a little bit different. If anyone hasn't really explored the jobs feature on LinkedIn, do that. And you know, my book is, I'm in the process of updating it and putting in the new images and all the ways that the jobs feature works on LinkedIn right now. But you might not realize if you haven't really dug into it, it provides a ton of information about how you match up with jobs, how many other people have applied, how well, you know, your skills are going to set you up for any job. You can get all kinds of updates. You can get, you know, job alerts from this feature. You can have LinkedIn sending you anytime there's a job that might match up to what you're looking for. So I would say that's the big thing. And LinkedIn is becoming, it's quickly becoming like the number one job search platform. So there were 100 million jobs applied for on LinkedIn last year or something like that. I mean, it's a huge, huge number. And I think the interview number is, it's like 112 million interviews that came from LinkedIn outreach. It's huge. And there's so much good information that you can get on there. And the really great thing about LinkedIn is you can see who you're connected to at any company you're applying for, and try, or if it's not coming up as anyone connected, you can use LinkedIn to find people you're connected with at the companies. You don't get that on Indeed. You don't get that on Monster. You get that on LinkedIn. So that would be, it's 2020, use LinkedIn for all its advantages and for all it's worth.
That's great. And you've reminded me of a couple key points that I want to share as well. Don't assume that I reach out to a lot of people on LinkedIn with messaging because I'm a host and trying to invite them to shows and stuff like that to record. And what I've noticed is a lot of people, maybe like 30%, are not keeping it updated. So you want to always start with the question, hey, are you still at so-and-so company? Because unless you know for sure because you're of a relationship, it can be a little jarring if you're like, hey, I see you work at Unisys. And they're like, I haven't worked there for 6 years. Like, look how old that that data is. Like, if it's within the last 6 months and they updated it, that they changed jobs, you're safe. But if it's older than 6 months, there's a chance that this is a person that's not really logging into LinkedIn, but monthly or every month, every other month. So
yeah, it's
watch that as you approach out to people. And then,
and don't let that happen to you.
Actually, exactly right.
When you get a new job, update your LinkedIn profile.
That's like the first thing I did. I didn't even have my first day yet and I'd updated it. And I want to confirm what you just said too. You said that people are reaching out on LinkedIn prior to the application process. Last year I finished a serious job hunt and I got 22 interviews, which means I probably put out over 100 resumes to different jobs. And the one that I ended up getting through the process and interviewing and getting an offer started from the recruiter on LinkedIn finding me. I didn't find their job. And that's something you said a moment. And I still I saved that message because it was so interesting to me because they actually reached out to me for a job I wasn't qualified for, like a senior level role, and I was not at that level yet. And so in our first conversation, I got to have a really good conversation with that recruiter explaining, hey, here's the level I think I'm at. I know this marketplace is really tight right now for senior level people like you're seeking. Maybe have that conversation with the hiring manager about would they be willing to downgrade it down to my level, because then I'm a really great fit and I have a lot of potential. Here's the reasons I have potential. You know, and so it went on from there. So I think if I were to sum up that as advice though for listeners, make sure your profile has been refined with some of these tips that Brenda's talking about so that they even think of you
right.
partly as a mistake so that you get to have those conversations that lead and may result in leading to a job, which is what it was for me.
Yeah. And you want to make sure that your keywords are all the right keywords in the right places, that you have a good network. The smaller your network, the less likely you are going to be contacted by a recruiter. So again, my book covers a lot of those sorts of issues on how you can build your profile to be optimized to be contacted for your next job.
Absolutely. And how would you like people to get in contact with you?
You can very easily find me on LinkedIn, Brenda Bernstein. Please send me a connection request. And when you do that, make sure if you're doing it on a desktop, definitely add a note. Let me know how you found me. If you're doing it on your phone, this is a really tricky thing, but do not hit the connect button on your phone. You have to hit the three dots. When you hit the three dots, then you get to personalize your invite. So personalize your invite to me, or I will not know how you heard about me. And once you do connect with me on LinkedIn, then you will get a message back from me offering, if you join my e-list, to get a free excerpt of my book. So I look forward to hearing from you all.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. There's a lot of great nuggets of advice in here. And don't forget to tell Brenda that you found out about her through careercloud.com in the podcast here.
Thanks, Justin.
Career Cloud Radio is a production of careercloud.com. Please review this episode on iTunes. We really appreciate it a lot. And thank you for listening.